What is up, Wisconsin? You're listening to the greatest outdoor radio show in the state on all your civic media stations throughout the great state of Wisconsin. 13 stations. This is Raised in Wisco.
Now, don't forget, we're on Spotify and Apple and Civic Media app. And give us a like on Facebook. We keep forgetting to promote that, too.
Well, you just remembered, so yes. Thank you very much. I'm your host, Joel Clayfish, sitting alongside Danielle Fairman. Danielle, this does not get more exciting to me than Wisconsin in the springtime. You know, turkey hunting season is in full swing. We start out with no leaves on the trees, and by the end of turkey hunting season, it's full foliage. The toms are separated. They're out there. You know, this is what I'm talking about. If there's not a better way to launch spring, Wisconsinites, you know, it gets sometimes winter drags on a little bit.
I was going to say, we start in our winter clothes and end in our spring clothes.
Or sometimes in shorts and a t-shirt, because we end in June and sometimes it's 90 degrees when we're sitting out there in the turkey blind. I mean, we hunted a couple days ago and it was literally 90 degrees and we're huffing and puffing up hills. I got like heat exhausted almost while I was out there. It's crazy.
And the ticks are out like crazy.
Yeah, I'm going to tell you something. Make sure if you're foraging for morels, if you're out there hunting for mushrooms or hunting for turkeys,
Spares.
Or if you're hiking or climbing or biking, use your tick spray, use the tick spray, because it is nasty out there with ticks. I had 7 ticks on me on the first day I was out turkey hunting.
I just, before I came here, pulled off 3 ticks, one on my earlobe, like completely on my earlobe.
From today?
I have no idea.
Where did
no
they come
clue.
From today?
I have no idea.
Did you have clothes on that you were hunting in earlier?
I did not. I was at work. But I do work outside, but it's an equipment. I'm assuming it just
whoever
traveled.
Was,
asparagus. I was looking for asparagus.
You were asparagus hunting.
Yep.
Yeah, the ticks have been absolutely horrendous. So make sure you spray yourself down. That is not something you want. Lyme disease. You know, we used to not have deer ticks in Wisconsin. Now we do. We used to have just wood ticks, and they don't carry Lyme disease. But man, that is a good lesson. I'm so excited. We've been grinding on the turkey hunting right now. And it's so great to come to Wisconsin. You know, the Fowl Life, I get to be the Midwest host of the Fowl Life, which is an awesome, fun job. And it was part of a lifelong dream of mine to be able to be part of a national television show. And so that's really exciting. Chad Belding is the national host of the Fowl Life. And Chad Belding and Tom Rashishin, who's this phenomenal creative mind, who's a photographer, photojournalist. He's unbelievable behind the camera with editing and everything that he does for social media. Chad Belding, host of the national show, The Fowl Life, and Tom Rashishin, executive director of The Fowl Life, is in town.
Ooh.
We have been grinding on the turkey hunt, and Chad is in the studio with us today. I'm so jacked about it, because not only do I get to see my good friend Chad, but we hit it real hard. And one of the coolest things for me, as somebody who loves Wisconsin, we have a relationship with Travel Wisconsin over at the Department of Tourism, and I get to show people from another state what it's like to come here, to eat here, to enjoy the outdoors. And every time they come here, we have as much fun outside of the hunt, goofing around. We get zero sleep.
There's so much to do
here. We get absolutely zero sleep, because not only are we up at 3 in the morning to hunt, and then we hunt during the day, we grab lunch, then we hunt till it's dark, and then after that, we get to enjoy some of the great stuff in Wisconsin. Chad, welcome to Raised in Wisco. I'm so excited.
Hi, Chad.
I'm in my element here. Danielle and I had one of the best turkey hunts of our lives. You and I and Tom and Nando Zuki, we were grinding it out at Brad Heidel's place out by Spring Green, Wisconsin, which is famous for Frank Lloyd Wright and House on the Rock. I mean, we've got Lake Geneva. I can't stop talking about how great Wisconsin is. And I love the fact that when you guys come here, you love it as well.
I love it. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. We've been hitting it hard. Zone 1 is really different than Zone 2 in turkey hunting. I mean, that's one of the cool things about the state, is you get so much different topography throughout the state. Here, we're hunting field edges, you know, larger, flatter fields. We've still got rolling hills. But when you get out to western Wisconsin, that topography out there is unbelievable with the bluffs and the rolling hills, isn't it?
Yeah, beautiful country. And one of the things I was thinking of is just how many turkeys there are visible to just driving around. And it makes you wonder how hard they get hunted with how many hunters are in the state of Wisconsin. Do you have any idea how many turkey hunters in the state? I know one number I heard for the deer, the rifle deer season in November was like 650,000. Yeah, they call it the Orange Army.
Orange Army.
650,000 rifle deer hunters. Like, do you have any idea how many turkey hunters are in zone two?
I couldn't tell you how many turkey hunters are in zone two, but I just know that that's where the main population of the state is, and that's why the zone two tags go so fast.
Yeah, that'd be the biggest population.
When I registered my turkey, it showed that we had 32,000 turkeys harvested this season yet.
Already?
32,000.
Holy cow.
Yeah.
32,000.
And zone two obviously had the most.
Are you sure it wasn't 3,200?
32,000.
Are you sure?
Hold on. Let me pull up the Google box.
That seems like a lot.
That's insane. That's absolutely insane.
Please hold.
Zone two is where the population centers are, and that's why those tags are much harder to get because there's more people who want them. And the crazy part is, in southeast Wisconsin, any turkey that's hanging out in a field next to a main road, he's going to be very susceptible, obviously, because people are driving by it. And when you get large populations of people driving by turkeys, they're stopping and knocking on those doors. That is one of the cooler things about Zone 1. I think it's a lot easier to get permissions out there. And again, the cool thing about being in Wisconsin is everybody you knock on, everybody you talk to, the farmers, even if they got family or friends who are hunting, they're so kind. It was just a really cool experience getting to know people. We hunted on the bluffs out in Spring Green, the Spring Green area, and we didn't realize this when we were hunting, but the Ice Age Trail was literally going through the area we were hunting, which...
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it made it tricky because here we were all set up and everything was serene and calm and we're calling turkeys, and then we saw people walking by in red shirts.
At least they were wearing high-vis clothes. That probably definitely makes it helpful.
Yeah, that was helpful for safety, that's for sure. But I don't know of any turkeys that were going to pop out with the red shirt.
They weren't just walking, though. I mean, that's kind of an understatement. They had dogs. They had several dogs. And then they were not quiet. It wasn't like they were sneaking up on anything. They were yelling at each other loud. They were yelling loud. Loud. And they get right up in the turkey's kitchen. Like, they're in their backyard. And that's what my first thought was when I first said about how visible turkeys are in this state. You see them a lot. So I start to wonder if these turkeys get hunted hard. Like, if you go in on a turkey and you're like last night, for example, I would have bet money we killed that turkey when we found him. But then I saw his reaction. I'm like, that turkey has been educated. So just, you know, I think there's a lot of turkey hunters asking for permission. And like you said, it's almost like Canada. They don't, the landowners don't say no a lot here.
It seems
like they don't say no very often.
That's
at least
the easiest thing to ask for, I found. For me,
deer hunting is probably a different story.
See, I think
it is, but also
goose.
With goose hunting, I'm terrified to go up and ask. But I can get deer hunting property, but goose, nope, I can't. Everyone else takes it. We've had this conversation so many times.
You know what I think that is, though? I think, first of all, goose hunting has got, there are more people who waterfowl hunt in the state of Wisconsin with consistency than turkey hunt. And that is something that is, that's an area of hunting, and we talk about it all the time, that's actually growing. The folks who are growing numbers are the waterfowl hunters, and those are young folks, 18 to 30-ish, and they're much more, they're ambitious, right? So they're out knocking on doors and getting those permissions, and when you waterfowl hunt, you want to have a cachet of 10, 20, 30 farmers that those birds might come and land on those fields, because when you hunt and you want to hunt an X, you have to know where they are, and there's a much better chance of you having waterfowl on the ground if you have several farms in an area. Now, we live on the Mississippi Flyway, which is absolutely one of the best flyways. It is the best flyway in the country. And so if you want to make sure that you're going to have success waterfowl hunting, you have to have a lot of farms.
So
you're telling me that you think there's more waterfowl hunters in Wisconsin than there are turkey hunters?
I do. Oh, but I absolutely believe that as well.
Absolutely.
Well, let's for 32,000 turkeys to die, how many tags can a local kill? How many? Is it unlimited?
Did you look? Well, is it 32,000?
So I have information from last year. So last year, for the youth hunts, a total of 2,972 birds were registered. That's a 28% increase from the previous years. And for the total of 2023 authorizations is 246,428. And 223,503.
Holy cow.
That is from...
I would never even guess there's
the
that
Wisconsin
many tom turkeys
Department
in
of
state.
Natural Resources today. Preliminary total of 2023 turkey season. Wisconsin turkey hunters registered... Yeah.
Say it again for 2023, 200 and what thousand?
Said a total of 246,428 authorizations were available.
So tags. Yes. That's how many tags.
And hunters applied 223,503 of them.
So we talk about the Orange Army, 600,000 people hitting the deer woods in one day on the opening of gun season. So essentially, 250,000 have turkey tags that spread out through 6 weeks. Yeah, those are the real numbers. So I guess the harvest numbers of 32,000 or 23,000. Does not surprise me. But we're only halfway
through
the season.
See, that is a huge number.
That's
to
huge,
give out that many tags,
number.
You have to have a lot of tom turkeys because you can't.
Oh yeah,
you can't kill a hen in Wisconsin, right?
You can kill a bearded hen, but it's got to be bearded turkey, and there aren't many bearded hens being killed. So,
and this is probably for spring and fall, though.
Yeah, I'm sure it is.
Total 2023. So.
I think that very few are killed. Not very few, but a lot less are killed in the fall. I would assume.
In Wisconsin, what I've found, I love to hunt turkeys in the fall. A lot of people don't think they come to decoys or calls, and I've never called, but I've seen them come to decoys. And this last year, I started calling using Kiki runs, locator calls, and I had turkeys come to that call, too. I love hunting in the fall woods for them, but Wisconsin's such a whitetail-driven state. I mean, we kill the largest whitetails in the world here in Wisconsin. So so if that's open, people are whitetail hunting. I love to turkey hunt. I mean, I love to turkey hunt. I will forego. And you know the beauty of the winter in Wisconsin? You can sit there with a shotgun and a rifle and hunt deer and turkey at the same time.
Uh-huh.
And you can even hunt waterfowl. You can throw some goose decoys out there, too, if you want
and
to.
And if that coyote comes by,
and if a coyote comes by, you got to wax him because we got to make sure to start controlling the predator populations because they are out of control and they are affecting the turkey populations. But that just goes to show you how good the turkey population is here if they're issuing that many tags. Now, of course, they're not going to fill them all, but that's crazy to me.
I think I saw 42,000 were registered.
42,000 turkeys were harvested in 2020.
Already this year or last year?
Last year.
Last year. That's crazy. All right, we got to take a break. That fast, that segment went. We'll be back with Danielle Fairman, Chad Belding, host of The Fowl Life. I'm Joel Clayfish. You're listening to Raised in Wisco. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Raised in Wisco, your greatest outdoor radio show in the entire state of Wisconsin on all your Civic Media stations. Tune in to Civic Media for all of your local news and sports, national stories, what's going on in politics at the local high schools. You name it, you're going to find it on Civic Media, 13 stations throughout the great state of Wisconsin. This show is called Raised in Wisco because, hey, I had the joy of being raised in Wisco. My mom is sitting out in the lobby. She joins us almost every week. She doesn't ever want to come on. She's decked out in her Brewers regalia today, though. She's a very thematic person with her dressing. Have you noticed that, Danielle?
Yes. Mom? I absolutely love every bit of it.
I did not even plan this, but her jersey, she's wearing a jersey with the old school ball mitt.
Yeah.
The mitt with the glove with the MB and the ball in the middle. When that came out, my mom and I talked about it back at the time. I remember I said, if they ever leave this logo, they got to come back to it. It's the greatest logo in all of baseball history.
It.
Chad Belding is literally wearing that logo on his hat. It matches my mom's jersey today.
Aww.
And, you know,
Did you guys plan that? Call each other?
Planned it.
it's just another, you can't, when you start talking about, you know, traveling to Wisconsin and having Wisconsin be a part of your plans to vacation or to enjoy time away, first off, it is a completely hidden treasure. Wisconsin has got so much to offer, and every time I think about it, it blows my mind to think that we have some of the greatest sports teams in the mm-hmm. world here. We've got the Green Bay Packers, the only team in the NFL owned by the fans. I happen to be an owner.
Oh,
I have
are
the sheet
you?
Of paper that goes on the wall that says, I'm an owner. They send you a thing every year that you get to actually vote on the decisions that are made. Now, I'm not a majority stockholder, so it doesn't matter. But at the Milwaukee Brewers, with their storied history and Bob Uecker, you know, Chad, as somebody from out of town, so Chad Belding, national host of The Foul Life, is here with Tom Rashishin, the executive director of The Foul Life. And these guys, we've been hunting hard for turkeys, and we're going to talk a little more about the turkey hunt here. But I want to get into with Chad a little bit. When you come to, you keep coming back to Wisconsin. The Foul Life actually has a relationship now with Travel Wisconsin. But before that relationship, Wisconsin, once you discovered it, became like a repeat, you know, place that you needed to be. It was somewhere you had to go. What does this state look like? What are the surprises? What encapsulates you when you come here that made this place somewhere you wanted to continue coming back to?
If I'm going to be totally honest and transparent, it's a... it's a secretive mission to meet Bob Uecker.
And
I mean,
that is not
I was a
bad
few
reason.
Rows away from him when I was at the last Brewers game.
What?
He was right in the box and he came out and he was standing like right a few rows. I'm like all waving at him like
we need
like
growing,
he, like
growing
he knew.
Up in the '80s and the old Miller Lite commercials, great taste, less feeling, great taste, less. And then when in 1989 the movie Major League came out, which you took me, you picked me up and you took me to downtown Milwaukee the other day, and we went to the Safe House and got to see some memorabilia from the movie Major League, which was the best baseball movie ever made. Some people say Bull Durham, Field of Dreams, but all in all, I just love that cast and that storyline. And then, you know, Bob Uecker played Harry Doyle in it, but that was a Cleveland Indians based team. But my whole life, you know, a great Brewer was actually in that movie is the Yankees first baseman, Vukovic, right?
Pete Vukovic.
Yeah. And,
oh.
And,
Vuk.
And he, but I just, I got,
Fu Manchu.
I love Milwaukee. I've been to Summerfest a lot of times. Zach Brown Band. I would come up here to watch Zach a bunch. And ever since I started coming here and learning about everything the state has to offer, you know, the fish fries are amazing. The cheese curds are amazing. The nightlife is amazing. And then like you touched on the professional sports here with the Bucks and the Packers and the Brewers. I think that, I don't know what it's called now, American Family Field, you said, but yeah. Miller Park's gorgeous.
It'll always be Miller Park.
And I've seen Kenny Chesney in Miller Park and I've seen, you know, it's one of the, it's just a cool state. And then on top of that, you got the outdoors that they're pretty amazing with the hunting and fishing and all the activities that you can get into. So having the opportunity to work with the state agency and tourism bureau of Travel Wisconsin has been amazing.
Yeah,
and
great.
It's just opening up doors like crazy.
It's great having you here to see it through your eyes too. It's completely different than seeing it through our eyes because we're used to this. It's raised in Wisco. We were raised here. So
yeah.
Seeing it through someone else's eyes is fantastic.
One of the most exciting things for me, I don't know, I maybe I'm a little obsessed about it. My kids used
what,
to call
food?
Me. No, well.
Did she say
me fat?
Food.
Fat,
was that a shaming deal?
No.
She was shaming
He
me.
Likes food. He's a great chef.
What am I going to do? Jeez, I'm working on it.
Oh, my Lanta.
I'm in the gym lately. I'm up to like 10 push-ups. Come on. 10
girl push-ups or guy push-ups?
I love it. Anastasia's in there. She's nodding. She's like, I don't. This is, we're going off the rails here. But something that my kids used to call me Johnny the Pusher, right? I have this obsession that if I like something or I enjoy something, I want other people to try it. Thank God I never went into drug dealing because
yes.
I probably would have been really
Thank
good
you.
At it. But I push food on people. I push experiences. Part of it goes back to my Italian mom, first generation American from Italy. Her dad came over, fought in World War One. I mean, loved the country from the inception of coming over here, became Americans. And I love sharing with people the things we have. And when I travel, I went to college in California and I worked a little stint in Rockford. And when I try to explain to people what Wisconsin is, they get this little cracked smile on their face and they kind of shake their head. Okay, buddy, you just love it because it's where you're from.
No.
And at the end of the day, that's not why, is it?
Mm-mm. No, it is. It just resonates in your soul with Wisconsin. I've only lived in three other states and have always come back here.
Yeah.
So I every time I talk about Wisconsin to other people, like when I go down to the Virgin Islands, everyone's, oh, yep, the Wisconsin girl's here. But they just say we just envision Wisconsin through your eyes, like just happy people, just outdoors all the time. Because I don't do sports, so sorry about the sports situation. But
hunting is sports.
Yes, it is.
It's a sporting activity.
But yeah, everyone always talks about Wisconsin and how wonderful people are. Unfortunately, they talk about Milwaukee, but Milwaukee is never a downfall. I'm just not a city girl. So when people talk about Milwaukee, I just think city.
Yeah, Milwaukee's one of the greatest cities I've ever been in. And what makes Wisconsin what it is literally the multiculturalism. I mean, one of the biggest bases for happiness is food. Wouldn't you agree with that, Chad?
Now we're bringing up food. Now we can talk about food.
I always talk about food. I tell people at the end of the day, this is a cooking show. We always talk about food, but we were settled here by, you know, German immigrants, Italian immigrants, Irish immigrants, Russian Orthodox immigrants, Latino culture, and all of that is really prevalent in the city of Milwaukee, and it's not just in that city. When you spread out to greater Wisconsin, every bar is a restaurant, every tavern is a bar, every restaurant is a bar, every supper club. When you go into a supper club or a restaurant, what's the biggest thing in the place? The bar in the middle.
That's where we all gather and talk.
We got to go to break already. We're going to get into a little bit deeper conversation when we come back, and that is where hunting is going in the future, what is needed to gain new hunters, and what are some of the reservations for those hunters who want to be protective of their spots while we're trying to invite people from other places. I want to talk about differences in prices for out-of-state hunting, too. We'll be right back on Raised in Wisco. You can rely on the old man's money. You can rely on the old man's money. It's a bitch, girl. Got the greatest outdoor radio show in the state of Wisconsin, Raised in Wisco, 13 stations throughout the state. In charge of the madness is Anya behind the board. We're going to be moving into the executive producer position. Pretty jacked about that. We're going to be doing some really cool new things with the show, Danielle. Mm-hmm. 13 stations. Every major market in the state of Wisconsin carries Raised in Wisco at 11 a.m. on Saturdays. Doesn't matter what you're doing. Tune in if you got your cell phone with you. Put it on and listen to us on Raised in Wisco, Civic Media, on
Spotify,
your phone. And Danielle, name all the places you can
Spotify
listen to.
Spotify and Apple. But then go to our Facebook page and give us a like. We post everything on there as well, so it just sends a direct link. So come to Facebook and follow us. Plus, you get to see pictures of Bandit. So win-win.
Ladies and gentlemen, Danielle Fairman, not only a heavy equipment operator, but master of all things social media.
Trying.
She is. You are very good at the social media. I've noticed that.
Thank you. I've been working a little bit too much now to concentrate on that, but
well,
it is fun. I like doing that.
You know, one of the cool things about having this show and being able to talk about the outdoors and promote the outdoors to people is that I've had this little radio or little television show on Channel 12, my alma mater, called Game Outdoors. It was originally called Game Outdoors, then Kill It, Clean It, Cook It for 13 years, and I had a real fun time. I did the show by myself. Danielle was my co-host on the show. We shot it ourselves, edited ourselves with our buddy Peter Kafkas, and put together. I was really proud of that show for the 13 years it ran, and then I had the chance to have an opportunity to meet the folks from The Fowl Life. The Fowl Life is one of the greatest
good people.
Waterfowl hunting shows in the world. It airs on the Outdoor Channel. Season 16 is 16? In production right now,
hot
which
dog.
Is insane. All over social media. And I had an opportunity to meet Chad Belding, the host of the national show, people like Tom Rasheen, Jennifer Swenson, and the crew at The Fowl Life. And Chad, you know, he came to Wisconsin. Was that your first trip hunting in Wisconsin, Chad, when we met?
Second.
The second time he came to Wisconsin to hunt, and I got to meet him. And he's like, hey, man, you want to kind of help us out with a cooking segment in your kitchen?
Yes.
And I was like, Absolutely.
Now you're speaking my language.
Both of my languages all in one, hunting and cooking what you eat, right? And they have a product line called The Provider, which is rubs and sauces and cookbooks. How to take wild game from the field to the table, which if you listen to the show, you hear us talk about that all the time. Now, I have to tell you, I was never classically trained in cooking ever. I learned through osmosis by watching my mother.
I feel like your mom trained
my whole life. Well, she did, everything. But I don't think she necessarily, it wasn't like a class. I watched her and paid attention to that and had the ability of kind of knowing what something's going to taste like while you're putting it together. Kind of know in your head what the finished product's going to taste like.
Mm-hmm.
So Chad asked if I would help out with a cooking segment, and we put mics on, and we had, you know, Kill It, Clean It, Cook It. We would cook on the show, and that was it. I mean, we became fast friends, and he's like, yeah. You know, I kind of said to him, what do you think? A little, maybe a partnership, maybe some way to do it. And now I've been with The Foul Life 2 years, having the time of my life, and we get to be on a national show. It's symbiotic with Raised in Wisco, with the podcast we do with Travel Wisconsin. We're teamed up with them right now, which is, it couldn't be more exciting to me. It's just such a cool opportunity.
You've also been on another show a bunch.
Ooh, what show is that?
I got to be on Ted Nugent's show, which has always been a dream of mine because that guy is literally a national hero. And he's a national hero. And part of that, a large part of that has nothing to do with hunting. It just has to do with his intellect and way of looking at life. And way of supporting field-to-table eating and the ethics of harvesting what you harvest in the outdoors and bringing it to the table, which at the end of the day is the most ethical way to eat.
Yep, the turkey that we got.
Coolest lifestyle known to man.
No doubt, man. It's so exciting to me. When people say, you know, what gets you high or gets you motivated or gets you going, when you can leave your home in the dark, watch those woods or fields or waters wake up, and you get to take something home that you can prepare with the foraged things from Wisconsin, morel mushrooms, asparagus in the ditches, watch those ticks, and you can make a cream sauce or a 7-layer salad with it or something that's out of any, you can take any cookbook. The greatest thing about protein and wild protein is you can take any single meat dish and make it out of wild game, and it's going to be delicious. It'll have different flavor, maybe, but it's awesome.
Do you know how many people have enjoyed turkey this year? Just this year, in the 2024 spring turkey harvest, 39,867 people have harvested, registered a turkey.
What?
Yeah.
We got two weeks left.
We're not even done. we go until May 28th.
Yeah,
period,
that's insane.
Period F goes from the 22nd to 28th of May.
Oh, see, earlier I'd said that it goes into June. Sometimes it goes into June, but it literally goes through the entire month of May.
39,867.
Does that number surprise you, Chad?
Yeah, I mean, that's a lot of turkeys. I mean, I'm wondering how many are Jake's compared to 2 or 3-year-old toms. That's just a lot. I mean, but, you know, you think about turkeys as a whole. The numbers in Alabama and Georgia and Mississippi, Tennessee must be astronomical compared to that, because there's just so many more turkey hunters, I would assume, in those states. I mean, in Alabama, the limit was 5.
What?
Yeah, I don't know.
Limit was 5 in Alabama for a long time.
Did anybody just hear a turkey call?
Did anybody just hear a turkey call?
Is it just that. Me?
Tom's on his laptop.
Was Tom on his laptop out there editing some video?
Are you editing the Jack Lynx video? another Wisconsin-based company,
Absolutely.
How cool that is to us, to Danielle and me, that you guys literally get to come here? Because for me, it's this wacky thing of, like, coincidentally, I start realizing all the stuff that's made in Wisconsin when they're here.
Yeah.
Because when we live here, you don't think of it all the time. Like, every time I eat Jack Lynx once a week, probably myself.
It's always in my snack pack.
It is. It's a good high-protein product. And now all of the health news is saying it's really about protein. More than anything else you can put in your body, it's protein. We need very, very little carbohydrates, if any. Don't need any. Your body will create carbohydrates out of the protein you eat. It's the healthiest thing you can put in your body.
But if you're going to eat, like, good food, and then meat's awesome, but carbs are so good.
Well, yeah, I mean
carbs
that's
are
fact.
So good.
Pastas,
carnivore diet's fun,
bread.
But let's get back to what you were going into and break real quick. When you work with a tourism bureau like this and an agency like Travel Wisconsin, how do the locals feel about it? In the beginning of this episode, you said we were hunting around Spring Creek. Is somebody from Spring Creek going to hear this and be like, dude, stop telling people where the turkeys are at? And I'm just being transparent here because I get so many messages of like, stay out of Kansas. Quit coming to Oklahoma.
No, you do not really.
Oh, yeah, all the time. All the time.
But that's a million-dollar question,
ever since the
isn't
very
it?
First episode of The Foul Life aired in 2009, we're getting ready to start filming season 17. We're getting ready to start airing 17. Season 16.
Isn't that awesome?
Wow.
It's crazy. But ever since the very first episode aired, probably the fourth episode, because the Canadians don't care about waterfowl, really. Ever since an episode from the Continental 48 aired, we've been getting messages like that. Quit telling people about the waterfowl hunting here. It's a secret. Quit telling people that Idaho has mallards. You know what I'm saying? It's like people don't like their spot given up. States like Arkansas have made it difficult, a little bit more difficult for non-residents to hunt. In Kansas now, you can't hunt public property on Saturday and Sunday.
On Saturday? Right? What?
As a non-resident during waterfowl season.
Well, see, then that would make it fine because they still have extra days for the residents. So it would just be like a bonus that other people are coming. Like when I go to North Dakota, everyone that I knock on their doors, they're happy to let me hunt there.
They want you to hunt.
Yeah.
But if I ask for deer hunting, they're like, no.
Duck and goose hunt.
Yeah. So it's
something
all
different
dependent
when you're
on
dealing
where you
with
go.
People that are chasing those same ducks and geese and they pull up and they see a bunch of Wisconsin license plates mm-hmm. in North Dakota. The residents don't necessarily like that.
But so, that's a million-dollar question. That's what I was asking when we're going into the break. And that question is, you cannot have the good with the bad and the ugly. They all come together in a package. And the reality of it is Wisconsin's a state that does not charge exorbitant fees for out-of-state folks to come and hunt here. And the people, the very people who are complaining or who might complain, and they've got their spots. And I'm not saying give up your tight spot, give up your best spot. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying introduce somebody, and we do want people from other states coming here and enjoying Wisconsin because without that, that is the basis of our tourism economy, mm-hmm. the dollars that are coming to our restaurants, bars, and taverns. The Tavern League loves the tourism industry. The tourism industry and the hospitality industry need it to survive. We've got the world's largest water parks in the world, largest water slides in the world in Wisconsin Dells. We've got Lake Geneva, which is a tourist destination. Without that, people here would have an unbelievably hard time being able to pay the cost of living because those tourism dollars really matter to Wisconsin. So as much as you say, don't come here and enjoy our parks, you are enjoying the fact that you're getting a break on your taxes and you're getting a break in real life by the cost of goods being less because more of consumers are coming from other states, Chad.
Well, with the other people from other states, as long as they're coming over here and doing it ethically and making sure that the field looks better than when they came there, then there really isn't a problem. You should see that more of as a challenge. Like, you need to get up earlier and you need to get this field. Like, it should be more of like an inspiration to go out there and do it more. And maybe you can get along with them and a friendship might spark up and you'd be going to North Dakota or Arkansas or somewhere else with people you just met.
I just would think, and I agree with what Daniel's saying, I think that it's a great goal for Americans to want to travel to different parts of the country mm-hmm. to experience I know there's state lines and I know that there's residents and non-residents and there's locals and there's people take great pride in where they're born most of the time. You always hear like, I'm third generation Nevadan or I'm fifth generation Wisconsin. You know,
for sure.
A lot of people take great pride in it.
For sure.
I just think that it should become a goal of outdoorsmen and outdoors women to want to go catch a muskie in Minnesota and catch a walleye.
I would love to do that.
And 100%. When you start dealing with it out west in Nevada and you have 350-inch, 400-inch elk, 90-inch, 85-inch antelope, huge mule deer, and you have to draw a tag out in Nevada. Well, you have the same chances as a non-resident that you do as a resident to draw that tag. So think about that. I don't just get to go down to a local retailer and say, oh, I'll take a mule deer tag. Y'all can probably buy them over the counter here, right? With that many hunters in the field, there's no draw here, right?
No draw for deer season. No.
So you could go 5, 6, 7 years without drawing a mule deer tag in the state of Nevada, while at the same time you're watching Californians come in and draw tags. So if you think about the mindset, you have to stay pretty optimistic of like, hey, everything happens for a reason. I'm going to get my shot.
Well, see,
but I think it should become a goal of American hunters, world hunters, to experience this in different places.
And with the whole going over state lines and hunting other states, my goal before I die is to get the ultimate waterfowl challenge, get all 41 species. I can't
Holy
shoot
cow.
All 41
You're
gonna
go for
species
king eiders in Alaska.
I think there's more species than that.
Well, the board I bought when I get a duck.
The board she bought at Walmart says there's 41.
There's 41.
Chad.
There's 41. The waterfowl grand slam, it is called. And there's 41 species.
But that's the part.
Like,
that's
I have to
part
go to
of
other
the
states.
Beauty of being a hunter and a destination hunter, and the experiences of traveling and meeting new people and new cultures. Mm-hmm. And this United States is got cultures from around the world, and every state has its own identity. And when it comes to hunting, there should not be state borders, and states are going one of two very distinct directions. They're going to less, you know, issues with someone from another state hunting and lower cost, or they're jacking it up so much that it's completely unrealistic for somebody to go anywhere else and mm-hmm. hunt anything. And I think that's wrong. I think it's wrong, because why should you be punished if you want to go to another state and attempt to hunt something? You're a U.S. American just like the person living there. We got to go to break already. When we come back, we're going to start back on that topic real quick and talk about what should it cost to go in the United States. It's getting more expensive to stay here than go somewhere else. We'll be right back on the greatest outdoor radio show in the state of Wisconsin, raised in Wisco. I'm Joel Clayfish. Danielle Fairman and Chad Belding, host of The Foul Life, are here. We'll be right back.
Watch out, boy. She'll chew you up. Oh, here she comes. She's a man. I can feel you watching in the night. All alone with me.
Danielle's laughing already. Raised in Wisco's the show on your civic media stations.
Setting the mood.
13 stations throughout Wisconsin with a little smooth jams from Hall & Oates on the way back. You know why we're playing Hall & Oates today?
Because I have no idea. Tell me why.
Chat, so, we were talking about how awesome the harmonies are for Hall & Oates. Like what? I mean, I think they were a little underrated for the quality
underrated.
Of their talent.
Well, yeah. Oh, he's offended.
I don't think they were as celebrated as they should have been for
huge,
the quality
of
their music.
They were very celebrated. Oh. I mean, their songs, they're like almost to Kenny Loggins status of being in movies. Their songs are in so
yeah,
many movies.
Yeah, that is true. They're in a ton of movies. Good music, anyway.
Is Kenny Loggins the king of soundtracks?
What's that?
Kenny Loggins, the king of soundtracks.
Yeah, I think he is.
Footloose?
I think I've heard that before.
Caddyshack?
Yeah, he's in a ton of stuff.
What's his biggest one?
Footloose, isn't it?
I don't think so.
Danger Zone, right?
I'd say Danger Zone.
Danger Zone.
Anya.
Film kid coming in. Film kid coming
yeah,
in clutch.
Top Gun.
Bring it.
So what I was going to say, Joel, about what you
don't
said.
Don't let anyone ever tell you that film degree is not going to pay off in real life, okay? That's all I got to say.
What I was going to say about your state line comment is, you know, is I always had aspirations of being in like Tennessee or Arkansas or like the Boot Hill of Missouri and shooting a limit there and then driving into Kentucky and shooting a limit and then driving to Tennessee and shooting a limit at Real Foot Lake. And it's illegal, right? Like it's illegal as heck because of the federal game laws. You can only figure out what state you start in and that's your limit for the day. And that flyway of like, if it's 4 mallards in Tennessee, you can only kill 4 mallards altogether in all 3 of those states that day. So it's kind of like I have a buddy just now that's from the state of Wisconsin. Well, he's not, his company's from here, that just killed the North American Grand Slam of turkeys in 10 hours and 15 minutes.
That, isn't that insane?
Yeah.
That's insane.
No
was that Culpepper?
Broke the record. I'm not saying any names. But Culpepper's coming here tomorrow.
What?
Yeah, I should call.
Culpepper's coming to Wisconsin tomorrow.
Yeah.
I want to know more about this turkey Grand Slam in 10 hours.
Can I call
hours.
Culpepper live on the air?
What's that?
Can yeah. I call Culpepper live
yeah,
on the
give
air?
Give him a holler. Give him a big introduction, too.
So how many? So that's four states he had it? Like, how?
I mean, it wouldn't have to be four states. You can kill an Osceola and an Eastern in Florida. That's your toughest. Don't you think, Chad, that's the toughest two together?
Osceola
and an Eastern in Florida. Osceola, the only place you can kill an Osceola turkey in the country is a few counties in Florida.
Huh.
And I mean, I have a monster Osceola.
I got you live on the air in Wisconsin right now. Is the rumor true that you're headed here? This is my friend Joel.
What's going on, man? Big fan.
Oh, man, thank you. And this is Danielle.
Hi.
Hey, yes, we got turkeys.
That's what I was calling to tell you is that I'll hook you up with Joel, and he can help you while you're here, if depending on your zone. But I'll get you guys connected tonight. I leave tomorrow, but we've been having a big time here. There's a lot of birds around.
Yeah, we've
been doing good. I'll holler back at you. I just wanted to make an introduction live on the air, but we're doing a live. Joel's got a radio show with his co-host, Danielle.
Hey, how y'all doing?
We're doing great, man. Good luck in the turkey woods this year. What's that?
I said, nice to meet y'all through FaceTime.
Nice to meet you.
I'll hook you up with Joel on a text tonight, and he can help you out if you run into some trouble here.
I'm the biggest turkey hunters in the world.
Yeah. Hey, Culpepper wants to come on your show next week when he's here.
Yes.
Let's
all right, he'll make it happen.
It's
I'll line
done,
you up.
Done, for sure.
All right, brother. See you.
The biggest turkey hunters in the world in one booth, Culpepper, Joel Clayfish, and Chad Belding, Danielle Fairman. I mean, come on. We didn't even get a chance yet to talk about your
turkey hunt. Yep, we'll talk about it next week.
Yeah, we're going to be running out of time here.
My next season starts tomorrow, so...
Oh,
I have another turkey harvest.
Mine starts tomorrow, too.
Are we going in the morning?
Well, I'm getting Tom Rashashin out of bed at like 2:45 in the morning. I hope you're coming along tomorrow, Chad. But go back to that, what you were talking about crossing lines. The wardens in in different states are not completely sure of that rule because a friend of mine and I were hunting in Illinois and we're wondering, can you shoot part of a limit in Illinois and the rest of your limit in the state of Wisconsin?
Yeah, you can.
And we asked several different wardens and they had different answers. They weren't sure
it's
of
a
how
federal limit.
State limits a, fit into federal limits.
It's a federal limit. At the end of the day, it's all federal.
So if the federal limit in a flyway is 3 geese in a day and you shoot 2 in Illinois, which is their state limit, can you go to Wisconsin and shoot one?
One. Now, there's gray air
that
and everything. But
that's
way,
what I mean.
The way I interpret the law, yes, you can kill 2 in Illinois and then go to in Wisconsin, but you can't kill the Wisconsin limit. You can only kill 1 for a total of 3 on the day.
Right, right. And that's where it gets tricky, and you got to be careful about that because the question was, hey, can we go and hunt with somebody else on an afternoon hunt, even though we killed a limit in a different state?
Yep.
And the different wardens we talked to had different answers. One said, yes, you can do that. One said, no, if you got one state limit, that's all you get for your federal limit is what that state's limit is in the federal flyway. And the other one said, no, it's a federal flyway limit. You can divvy that up between different states.
I mean,
anyway, that
makes sense. If you live in like Texarkana, you got all the little corners right there. Hunt from field to field to field. That'd be a heck of a dinner right there.
Well, it's the same as Southeast Missouri, Tennessee, and Kentucky. I mean, like you're an hour drive, sometimes 40 minutes to be in each of those corners of that state, and they're all, and that's right in rich waterfowl and turkey country.
I just want to know
that would be wonderful, but that does not seem ethical to me. That's a lot of birds to be harvested by a lot of people.
I mean, if you got, I have no problem with it. If you have the tags and the, you know, harvest authorizations are given based on the numbers of quarry that's available to be harvested.
You're talking turkey now.
Yeah.
Yeah, but turkey's different because it's not federally regulated. So you can kill your bird. You could go kill your bird in all 50 states.
Oh, no.
If you had the time to do it in one day.
I'm saying I don't have an ethical problem with it because they give harvest authorizations based on the amount of birds that they anticipate being killed to ensure
Which
a healthy
means that
population
there has to
of
be,
turkeys.
There has to be a ton of turkeys in the state of Wisconsin
for
there
them
to give out 240,000 tags.
That's insane.
Yeah.
That means there's a ton of turkeys. And I think that's pretty much witnessed by what you've seen while you've been here.
What is the population of the state of Montana?
I
bet you it's like 5 million. You're looking at...
What? Montana?
1 million.
One million.
So you almost entire
state.
Idaho. Oh, you want to know a fun fact about Wyoming?
You guys are giving out 25% of the entire population of Montana in turkey tags.
Think about
in Wisconsin.
That we're, yeah, one quarter of all of the people in Montana could have a turkey tag in the state of Wisconsin. That's how many harvest authorizations are. Awesome show. Went really fast again. Philip Culpepper might be on the show. Holy cow. I mean, that's like the turkey guru of the universe. Danielle Fairman's here, host of The Fowl Life. Chad Belding joining us in the studio. An awesome time I had with you, Chad. Really
thank
love it. Can't
much
wait
for
you
to
so
come
much.
Back. You've been listening to Raised in Wisco. I'm your host, Joel Clayfish. We'll see you next week.
Tried the corner and missed.
Why don't you stay until tomorrow? If you want to be free.